Thank you. Hello, everyone. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting for September 8th, 2020. We are going to convene the meeting at this time. R. Paul, can you please take the roll?
Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Nick Arena.
Here.
Teresa J. Allen. Fred Blair.
Here.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Dwayne Lark. R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton.
Here.
Anita Sims.
Here.
Nancy Sorden. Polina Vasilyev.
Here.
Okay, that's eight.
Very good. Thank you, R. Paul. Okay, I'm going to read the agenda, and then we'll go to a vote or for amendments. The agenda from going forward is, I'll just read the whole thing. Number one is convene the meeting. Number two is roll call. Number three is adopt the agenda. Number four is approve the minutes for 2 minutes. Number five is the chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Number six is report from the IED, Lydia Brazon, 10 minutes report, 15 minutes Q&A. Seven is analysis of year-to-date financials from Director Corey for 15 minutes. Number eight is ICFO report from Anita Sims, 15 minutes report, 15 minutes Q&A. Number nine is central services formula, 15 minutes. Number 10 is reports from the stations on the budget timeline progress, starting where we left off last time at KPFT, going then to WPFW, WBAI, KPFA, and KPFK, the latter of two which we've already done. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you.
Number 11 is discussion of whether all Pacifica stations should have a finance committee, 15 minutes, and then finally new business. And we're just going to say new business. When I sent out the agenda, it said 5 minutes, but our Paul tells me that's not appropriate, so we're just going to leave that as an open-ended item. And then that should be number 12 also. I apologize. I have number 11 twice. And then finally, number 13 will be adjourned no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern time.
Mr. Chair, Paulina with a question.
Yes, Paulina.
When was the agenda sent out? Because I was looking for it in my email and I couldn't find it.
Yes, I apologize. It was sent out just recently. If you check your email again, it should be there.
Oh, okay, thanks, Jim. Okay, I see it now. Thank you.
Thank you. And my apologies for that. I was involved in some other matters at WBAI all day today, and I did this at the last minute, but I wanted to mention that going forward, the agenda is going to be somewhat mundane unless, you know, a critical issue comes up. We're pretty much going to be focusing on the budgets and the reports, and so it won't be much different each time, again, unless something unusual comes up. So I need to ask if there's a motion to approve the agenda.
Once
we have a motion, then...
Recognize
ahead,
Fred.
Fred.
I move we approve the agenda.
Okay. Is there any objection or any amendment to the agenda? Well, I first have to ask, is there any objection? And we adopt it, and then we go for amendments. Hearing no objection, now I'm going to ask if there are any amendments for the agenda.
Mr. Chair, if we pass it.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. I can't. We have to ask for an approval of the agenda, and then people, if they have amendments, they speak. And once it's approved, it takes 2/3 to amend. I get it. So let me go back and let me just ask again, is there any objection to adopting the agenda?
Mr. Chair, this is Paulina. This is not an objection, rather a question.
Yes, Paulina.
I'm not sure if our IED is was aware that she was on meant to give a report right now. Can we check with her if she is she's available to do so now? Otherwise, maybe that item would need to be postponed, or can we just be flexible about when she comes on, whatever you suggest?
I appreciate the question, Polina, and I will say that I did put a call into her. It was a late call, so I find no fault in her. And I'm going to put her in for a report. I believe the normal procedure is that she will attend the finance committee, but we know that she's busy, and then sometimes she won't, and we'll just have it there. And if she doesn't attend, we'll just move past that with the flexibility of returning to it if she does come in. But I appreciate your question, and that's a good opportunity to explain.
Sure, thank you.
Any other questions? So, all right, hearing none, I'm going to move on now to the chair's announcements. I only have one additional announcement to the others that have already been announced previously. So, Arpal, I won't bother
order,
to.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Arpal.
Isn't approved minutes next?
I asked for any objection. Oh, approved minutes. I'm so sorry. Adopt agenda, approved minutes. Yep. Thank you. And I understand you do have some minutes, Arpal.
I move to approve the minutes of the August 25th, 2020 NFC meeting.
Very good. And is there any objection? I'm hearing someone, but I can't make out the voice.
Can you
hear okay.
me?
Okay. Oh, yes, now I can. Go ahead. Teresa.
Okay. Sharon. It's Sharon.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Sharon.
Okay. Sorry. I don't know. Maybe the next.
You are breaking up, Sharon.
Oh.
We hear you now.
The report on the stations on the budget timeline process, 9:15 p.m. I think it's a typo. That's all. I just have a question about KPFK, and it says the KPFK treasurer told the committee, and then he. I believe the KPFK treasurer is Teresa, if I'm correct, so it should be she, I think, there. I'm not sure.
It's Fred.
I think Teresa is from KPFT. Fred, I think, is the I'm a little confused. Fred, are you the chair or the treasurer?
I'm the treasurer.
Right. I was confused when I was reading the. Actually, don't make
very
a
good.
Attention, but okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. So, understanding that, you know, corrections or additions to the minutes can be added later, are there any objections to approving the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are now approved, again, subject to correction or additions. And now we'll go to chair's announcements. And the only additional announcement I have over the ones that we've been making for the past few meetings are the Pacifica Foundation has been removed from Charity Navigator's quote-unquote moderate concern advisory status and now has a one-star rating. This is good news. Of course, we could have a 4-star rating, which would be better news, but we're out of the concern or doubt category. And this is, I think Charity Navigator is the major online evaluator of charities that people go to get information about whether a charitable organization is worthy of their donations. So this is a good development for us. I don't know how many of our members actually go to Charity Navigator, but it is a significant force in this area. So that being said, we can now go on and ask if Lydia Brazon is here for a report, and if not, we'll go past that to the next matter. Lydia, are you here? Understood. And I'm going to repeat again that I did reach out to Lydia belatedly, and she did not have a chance to get back to me, so I wasn't necessarily expecting her to be here. Did I hear someone speaking?
Yeah, Fred, I was going to say Maestro doesn't show Lydia present.
Oh, thank you, Fred. I appreciate that. Okay, if she does come, we can, of course, circle back to that and deal with her, get a report from her. And so now I'm going to ask Chris. This is number 7 for the analysis of the year-to-date financials. Chris, I understand that the August financials are not out yet and have not been analyzed by Anita yet. Do you have anything on that subject?
No, I don't. So this would be just a remaining discussion of the July 31st financials. I do have some questions if Anita is available to discuss that. Maybe some of the treasurers from the stations can answer them too. Is it possible to go through station by station and ask specific questions about what's showing up on these reports, or is that just a matter for another time?
Go ahead,
Anita.
I was just going to respond back to Chris. I'm sorry, Mr.
Chair. No. No worries.
If you give me a few minutes, I can pull it up.
Okay.
But I was not prepared, but
okay.
I'll see if I...
Yeah. Sorry about that, Anita. I wasn't even sure whether you would be on the call tonight since there was nothing new to report.
Chris, may I interject that Anita is next on the for a report. Do you want to make that part of her report, or do you want to go ahead and do this under your analysis?
Actually, how about this? How about I ask the questions, and if she had plans to cover these items in her report, I'll just defer them to that. She can say, I'd be happy to hear, I already had that plan to discuss. But I think these are kind of granular details that probably won't be part of a report.
Go ahead, Anita.
I was just going to say I was not prepared to speak because I had talked about it in our last call or the call before.
Right. Right. And I was really, go ahead. I'm sorry. I shouldn't interrupt. Go ahead.
That's all right. Go ahead and give me send me the questions, or ask me, and if I don't know, I'll get you an answer.
Okay.
And
right.
just so we don't make our Paul too crazy trying to keep the minutes here, we're going to do this under number 7, our Paul.
Yeah. So this will just be a Q&A instead of a field notes from director thing.
Okay. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, thank you. I'm just working my way down the July 31st financials from left to right. So the first, other than consolidated, the first station to come up is KPFA. So I had a query, which I think has been articulated a couple of times about the, the corporate match category. That category is showing greatly elevated from last year, and I'm just curious as to whether this was a decision on the part of the station to recategorize this income, or whether this is just something new that is happening at KPFA. Like I say, go ahead, Anita, if you know the answer to that.
I was just going to say, well, it's all coming in March. If you notice, that is where the increase of $151,000. I do not know.
Okay.
But is there anyone on the call from KPS?
Sharon is the only one who could possibly know.
Okay. I'll make myself a note.
This is Sharon, but can you hear me now? Is the connection
yes.
better?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, are you looking at the document that Anita sent out like 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago?
No. This is the 731 financials. They came out last week.
Okay.
So there's an item of 100, the specific cell that Anita is calling my attention to, and I agree that that's where the issue lies, is Y10, which is the corporate match for March. And it's over $150,000. I'm just curious that seems like a rather large and unusual item, and I was just trying to figure out where it came from. And there's got to be a story behind it, right? I mean, it's unusual enough that there's something going on there. And I was just curious what was going on.
Okay, well, I got dropped off the call during part of it, so I kind of missed it, and that's why I wasn't caught up. But why 10? I will attempt to do that. Maybe, Chris, you could send me an email with the question.
I will do. I'll do that. I'll do that.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So the next question, which you might be more prepared to answer, is it's cell AA23, and that would be under – let's see, it's under administration. Oh, yeah, and then it's reflected down below in detail. Hold on a second.
But
the same exact item.
For a file name?
I'm okay, yeah. This is copy of Pacifica Financial 73120. With percents, I think, is the end of the file name.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to continue.
Okay, say it again.
You guys
say it again. I'm
it
sorry. It's just because I'm not. I, you know, you.
Oh, copy.
Say the name of Pacifica. File name again.
Yep, copy of Pacifica Financials 7.31.20 with that's W, just W percents, W percents.
Okay,
Chris, can you send that around to the committee?
I will. I'll send it around.
I do have
yeah.
the one that's Pacifica mm-hmm. Financial 73120. Oh, yeah, I see it. I got it.
Okay, cool. Okay, so it's cell Y10. And then the next one that I'd like to question would be it's AD66, which is hang on.
Professional.
No, it's the legal settlement, I think. Hold on. Let me check it. Did I get that column wrong? I did. You're right. You're right. It's professional fees. You're right. Professional fees legal. You're correct. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. And so there's 48,000 in that column. And I'm just wondering where that came from.
Okay. I'll ask.
Okay. So were it not for those items, KPFA would be in profit for the 6-month review period instead of reporting about a $46,000 loss. So that's why.
I mean, if I could speculate, my speculation is that it's the charge that Pacifica is charging to KPFA for the attorney's fees for the property tax, which the interim executive director has acknowledged in her email was due to Pacifica's fault. So as I understand it, the issues that are, you know, Pacifica's are supposed to be paid for by Pacifica as a whole. But I believe Maria told me that Pacifica is actually charging KPFA for those legal fees. So that's probably what that one is. AD66.
Okay, and just to be clear, Sharon, if that's the case, then what I would like to do is treat that as an extraordinary expense and back it out.
Okay.
In other words, make mm-hmm. it not part of the operational analysis. That's all I'm trying to do with every individual station here is just figure out what's
okay.
weird and what's normal. That's it.
Okay. And
so,
then the other one was
Y10, which was a revenue item. It was a corporate.
150,000. I got it. Okay, I see it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. So I'm looking at KPFK now, and I have a query on item their tower utilities are up 57% for the year, and I can't figure that out. If Fred knows, or if Anita knows, it would probably be more Fred than Anita. Do you have any idea why the tower utilities are up 57% this year, Fred?
I think there was our business manager spoke about that at the last finance committee meeting. It maybe has to do with the Forest Service on Mount Wilson charging on, well, it wouldn't have to be the Forest Service. It would be the electric utilities. It may be that the weather up there has been hotter than normal, and the tower needs to be additional air conditioning to cool the transmitter.
Yeah.
If that may
make sense.
How much? You said that was 15%?
That 57% increase.
What line was it on?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've already moved on. Let me back up to it. It's AG 89 shows the increase.
Got it. And it's, it says it was up 57%. That didn't make sense.
Correct.
That statement didn't make sense to me either, but, we have a finance committee meeting tomorrow and I'll ask the business manager again why that's, gone up so much. Cause
okay,
normally power goes up about, 2% a year.
Right. Yes. Yeah. There were a couple of items in the revenue stream that were, that seemed a little bit, strange to me too. One of them was, website income, is showing up 53%. That's great. I would imagine that that's related to COVID-19, just without further analysis, but I don't know. And then the other one was, hang on, it was line 16. That is
grant income.
Grant income was up significantly as well. It was 51,000 this year versus 12,000 last year, which is also a rather nice gain.
The finance committee went over the web income issues. Since we've switched over to the Alliance, our Allegiance system, web income has broken out on the reports, and it's normally 9 to 10%. So these numbers do not make any, web income numbers make absolutely no sense.
Okay. All right. That's fine. So it's like an arbitrary thing. It's just moving revenue from one part to another.
Right.
Okay. The KPFT is the next one. There's only two questions I have, and I'm not sure that we have anybody here that can answer them. But the administration expenses were. This is all positive, ostensibly positive news. I just want to understand it better. The administration expenses were off 29%, and the and I've brought this question up before. The development expenses are off 53%. At KPFT, I'm assuming that, you know, I don't know what the reasoning or the reasons are behind either of those changes, but those were the only questions I had. Is anybody here that can answer for that?
Well, this is Teresa. I'm on the phone. Let me see if I can get the answer to that question, and I'll let you know in a minute. If possible, I'd like to look through it.
Okay. The biggest category of drop for administration was consultants and temps. So that's probably where the issue lies. And
we had a development director that he left his job about 2 months ago.
Okay.
And That would probably make that difference there. And
we at least a portion of it.
We advertised,
yeah.
And I believe that some people applied, and then our general manager asked them if they would work for free. So
got it.
They decided not to take the job.
Got it.
Mr. Chair, this is Dwayne Lark. I'd like to.
Hey, Dwayne.
Hello
there. Hi.
Hi, Dwayne. I'm sorry, what was your question?
I don't have a question. I'd like to respond to the inquiry that was made and the response Teresa gave.
Of course. Go ahead. Teresa, were you done?
Yes.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, first off, the person that he indicated that the IGM asked to work for free certainly didn't have any experience in the area, and it was suggested by some people on the local board. One of them was a previous employee that basically was a board operator. So she kind of threw it out there like the IGM was asking someone who was highly qualified to work for free, and that certainly is not the case. Second, I'd like to point out that he was fairly accurate with respect to part of why the cost would be 29% less, which is a reflection of KPFT's reduction in staff, either by attrition or simply not replacing staff because of not having the money to do so, because as all of us know, with each of our stations, didn't start yesterday, didn't start last month, didn't start with COVID. Our declination of revenues has been documented for the last 10 to 15 years, frankly. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If you were to make a financial graph of not just KPFT, but all of our stations, what you will see is a steady slope down from 2010 until today. So none of this is grand news or breaking news. And third, we also list on our administrative costs fulfillment, that is, gifts that individuals receive when they pledge. And so for two reasons, that $29,000, a large amount would be that, because number one, we haven't had to give too many because, again, donations have been down steadily for the last 10 years. And in addition to that, some have been willing to forego gifts, given that they're asked to consider the economic situation of KPFT. So I think this gives a full explanation, aside from the innuendo thrown out about asking somebody to work free and not substantiating it, that this is where the $29,000 decrease has come from.
Okay. If you don't mind, I'd like to ask Duane one follow-up question. It seems to fit right in with that narrative. There's item. Sure. The item under development expenses that has declined the most in gross revenue terms is the premiums from other vendors. And I'm presuming that what Duane just said about the gift giving out of the station declining is responsible for that. Can you verify that?
Absolutely. If they're not giving, we don't have to give.
There you go. Okay.
Chris, I'm not understanding. You said development is off 53%. You meant when you said
Teresa, were you seeking recognition? I apologize.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Maybe I just didn't understand. I thought you said development is off 53%. You're not talking about salary. You're talking about premiums or gifts.
It's a whole slew of stuff, and no, salaries are not included in that.
Okay.
That's a labor category. It's completely different.
All right. So you meant
Mr.
like
Chair,
premium.
Mr. Chair, point of clarification.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
I'm referring
to line 1890.
Could you hold on one second, Chris?
Sorry.
Could you hold on one second? We're having a relatively free-flowing conversation here. I don't want it to break down into confliction. So I'm just going to remind everybody to ask for recognition. You know, it's okay, you know, when we're having a free exchange and it's flowing smoothly. I just want to be sure it doesn't break down into people stepping on each other or being in contention for space. So, Duane, go ahead. I think you had a question. Or who was it? Who was trying to speak?
I asked for the floor. That was already done when Teresa spoke without asking for acknowledgement, but I asked for acknowledgement, and you told Chris to stand down.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay, so now, if Chris, were you trying? Chris was. I think that's correct. That's how I recall. So Chris was trying to say something. So
I was just trying to say that the sell-in question was AG90 on that spreadsheet. That's all I had to say. Go ahead. Duane, if you had something more to say, or Teresa.
Okay, I'm not going to. One of the reasons I take the time out from my business to be on these calls is because I'm concerned that misinformation, innuendos are thrown out, and some folks take that as gospel. But I'm not going to permit it. So it's not enough to set the record straight. It's never enough to not take the time. And for those who want the truth, who want the facts, to actually take the time to explain what the facts are. And with respect to this particular line item that is being described, I won't restate the facts that I stated, but what I will add is that one of the issues that we have addressed, though at least we have acknowledged, is that there is no continuity with respect to how we do our descriptions. One station may describe this action or this line item as this, and it may include a number of things that another station doesn't. So this can cause confusion because there's no continuity of understanding what a line item really represents.
Thank you, Duane. Now, I'm going to say that we are now at 15 minutes, which was the time assigned for this item. But as we know, there we have some flexibility in the schedule because not all of the items on the agenda have been we've taken time for. So would anyone like to move to extend this conversation?
James, I'd like to extend for 5 minutes. If I only had one more set of questions, and it was regarding PFW.
Is there any objection? Okay, I'm going to say we can go ahead for 5 minutes, but I believe I want to be sure that I'm not mistaken. Teresa, were you asking to speak when I at the conclusion of Duane's last remarks?
Yes, I would.
Well, I'm asking if you were, not if you would. I thought I heard you trying to speak.
Yes, I was.
Okay, very good. If that's the case, go ahead, and then we'll go back to Chris.
I just want to say I was a little bit confused because I thought that I was told that we had to get permission from the national board to replace the person who had resigned, which was a development assistant. It wasn't a highly complicated job. We advertised it. We took applications. I believe the IGM interviewed people, and we did not hire anybody. And so I guess that is the issue there. That's why we didn't spend the money.
Okay, thank you. And now let's go back to Chris, and anybody else who wants to be on the stack later can ask for it. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, so with PFW, I just had a few questions here in, I think it's mostly in the administration category. Just give me 1 second here. I think that's right. Yep, it's all in the administration category. So scrolling down to the administration category for WPFW, which is lines 55 through 71, the first item that pops out for me is cell 8A66, which is a 20.
I'm sorry, Chris, could you repeat that? Cell what?
Cell 8A66. And that would be taxes and fees.
There's
a $20,000 charge there in May. What was that?
Chris, I asked the same thing. I don't have an answer yet. But yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. I think I hear Nick trying to speak. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I got an answer. If you guys would look at the costs that were put on the stations to cover the CPB portions that needed to be repaid, that $20,000 is a result of that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate that. Let me notate this just so I don't forget.
Chris, could you just suspend for a second? That's a question that I had also myself before for WBAI. Are we backing out those expenses as extraordinary for those CPB payments because they're basically a one-time only expense and we don't even have CPB anymore?
I'd certainly recommend it.
Very good. So we'll do that across the board, I assume.
Yeah.
So we can very good. Thank you.
We can do it station by station.
Thank you.
So the next category was it's line 59, consultants and temps was up 15%. It's not that significant, except for in dollar terms. It was a $16,000 increase. So I was just curious about that one.
Those are costs associated with what we've had to incur to run the station based on COVID and increased engineering costs that we're absorbing for local support that's supporting nationally. So those are the two reasons.
Thank you very much, Nick. And then the last item, actually, I have a net item. I'll circle back to it in just a second for any
Chris, could I ask you to suspend for just a second?
Sure.
Nick, I want to ask you if you can restate that and put it into layman's terms, exactly what that meant about national support of local engineering and whatnot.
So we are providing through our payroll payment for national engineering support that's originating from personnel within the station that are providing additional engineering support across the network. And that's what that part of the expense is. And part of the expense is the result of increased costs to be able to run the station remotely by individuals who are not physically going into the station, as well as additional support for people that have to go into the station to operate the station. So those combinations of costs are the result of the increase for the month.
Understood. Very good. Thank you. That's a good explanation. I appreciate it.
Also, could I add, this is Nancy, could I add something to the...
Yes, Nancy, go ahead. Nice to see you here. Thank you.
Nick has been reminding us that that additional engineering cost is, we are actually getting credit towards our central services for that. We're paying for the national engineer, and we are being credited towards our central services for that extra cost for us.
Is that
how you say it, Nick?
I assume that's being coordinated by Lydia or through the national office?
I believe Nick's working with Tamara on that.
Very good.
Okay. I made a note of that one, too. Interesting. Thank you very much, Nick. I appreciate it.
And thank you, Nancy. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, last one before I have one question for Anita, and that would be on the utilities, the office utilities. Those are also up significantly, and I'm just trying to figure out why, once again.
On FW?
On W, yeah. So that would be, it's under, it's line 69, and it's AD 69 is the cumulative total.
Yeah, the increased utilities expenses are being reclassified by Tamar because they're associated with the call center for our pledge drives that are collecting payments. Those costs are up because we usually had volunteers doing that work, and now we're contracting with someone to do 100% of collections of pledge drives.
Okay, and it sounds like that needs to be recategorized.
Yes. And Tamara's already doing it. She's already doing it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And then for Anita, there was one last one here. So looking at line 62, which is the interest line, it appears, just because of the timing of the payments, that PFW is already receiving the allocated interest formula payments into their books. That would explain the difference between this year and last, because last year the numbers weren't there. Is that the case?
I don't believe so. But.
No? Okay. So then in that case, I have a remaining question about why the interest is so much higher in March and June than in the other months.
Yeah. Can I answer that?
Yeah,
sure.
Please, Nick, if you know the answer.
It's not interest. It's interest / bank charges. And bank charges relate to credit card charges associated with donations. And it's up in March and June because we have pledge drives in March and June. That's why.
Okay. So I'm going to notate that one, too. That has a separate category. The credit card fees generally do. So thank you. Those are discounts then, right? Is that what you're saying?
It's processing costs. It's absolutely. That's exactly right.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it. I have no further questions. Thank you, James. I really appreciate this opportunity to clear some
questions
up
while
we're all sitting here. Sure.
We appreciate your help with these things. And, Nick, I just wanted to add a comment here, and I don't know how true it may be for any of the stations, but I have noticed that there were some reports about call centers being hit particularly hard as workplaces by COVID due to the fact that, you know, lots of people sit close together in little cubicles or whatever they are that they sit in when they answer these calls. And most of them are working from home now. And there has been some drop off in the quality of the service in some of these call center services. So I just want to alert people to possibly, you know, if you're needing to transition to this kind of service to be aware of that and to keep an eye on it and to make sure that, you know, test your, do test calls, call in periodically, see how long it takes them to answer the phone, how long your listeners will have to be waiting for the call to be answered, and see how effective they are and if they know what the premiums are and you know, how well they're handling it. Just a thought. Okay. I think now we are out of time. Okay, go ahead, Felina.
I just have a quick follow-up question on the call center situation. Yeah, as a matter of fact, KPFK has been struggling with exactly that, and I believe that we switched to a different call center. I believe the service has improved somewhat, but it's a very good idea for board members to actually take an active part and call in and see how well it works just from your own experience as opposed to relying on anecdotal evidence. And is everybody using a call center at this time? I don't know who this question would go to, but I'm curious if everybody...
Well, let's go around the horn with it. That's a good question. Why don't we start with KPFA and go to KPFA, K, T, W, and BAI. KPFA, are you guys using a call center?
Yes.
Good. And is that new or is that always?
Not really part of the finance committee purview, but as I understand, we've been doing it for quite a while.
Okay, thank you. KPFK?
Fred, yes.
Go ahead, Fred.
We're using it more now since the COVID lockdown in March. We've always used a call center for overflow calls when there are more calls in the fund drive room than could be handled. So the fund.
Good to know. Go ahead. Good to know. Thanks for sharing, for everyone. And KPFT?
This is Teresa. Can you
go ahead? Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Yes, we do. Our general manager insisted that we use the call service. I think we may have used it since May, maybe even before then. We had a rollover. We had a service to a rollover. To me, it's disappointing. We're in our 50th year, and I'd love to talk with our donors a little bit, and I missed that opportunity.
Of course. Understood. And WPFW?
I think Dwayne has a comment on KPFT.
Oh, go ahead, Dwayne. Go ahead.
Two people here from KPFT.
Go ahead, Dwayne. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Our new IGM that came on in December of 2019, I believe, made a decision that having people on the telephones in the 1970 and 1980 mode, taking folks' credit cards, exposed the foundation to liability. And that the modalities that other professional entities use were call centers, which had more capability of protecting privacy information regarding folk checking account and banking account information. And it was for that reason that the new IGM, who felt that it was in the best interest of the foundation to do so, and it hasn't affected in any way, in my opinion, based on a business manager's assessment who's been around for over 12 years, and the new IGM, in terms of if people are going to give, they're going to give rather than stand on the phone with them chit-chatting for 2 or 3 or 4 minutes extra. They call in to give is the perception, and that's worked out pretty well.
Thank you, Dwayne. Yes, I must say that these all these comments are bringing up recollections of what's going on at WBAI, and I think that it's interesting to know that they're throughout the network. We're out of time for this item, but I'm going to ask that we extend just for a couple of minutes so we can finish going around to all the other stations. Is there any objection to that? We're just going to finish the station list. Hearing none, let's move to WPFW, if there's anyone who would like to comment, Nick or Nancy.
I think we captured it earlier. We're using call center 100% now due to COVID. In the past, it was only a rollover service.
Yes. You did capture that earlier. You're correct. Any other comment, Nancy? Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm sorry, I was muted. No comment.
And then we go to WBAR. Paul, do you want to say anything about how that's going?
Yes, we've been using a call center for years because we've been moving around and there's no room. Also, I will point out that some years ago there were threats of legal action because, people walking in off the street taking credit card information could be construed as not exercising proper due diligence. So, yeah, we're on call centers now, although some people protest it and want to come up to the tiny station and answer phones.
Yes, that's correct as far as I understand it. Of course, that's difficult at this time, and I will add a little addition to that, and that is that WBI experienced a fall off in our response from the call center, and we believe, or management believes, that that may be a result of COVID and people working from home, and we had to strongly encourage the call center to do a better job, at which time they started to. But we've also set up some lines in the office for the people who are there anyway, like the general manager and our chief volunteer, Matt Mazza, and also some of our engineers who can pick up a phone when they have a moment if a call comes in. So we're actually now using a combination of the old style of, the call room with the volunteers and the new methods of the call center and trying to meld it a little bit, but without having, 20 people come in and cram into a small space during the COVID, would obviously be a hazard. Okay, so we are now way out of time for this item. And unless anyone wants to extend, we can go on to the ICFO report from Anita Sims.
Hi, this is Lydia. I'm on the call.
Oh, hi, Lydia.
Hi.
Thank you for coming. And Lydia, not knowing your schedule or Anita's, we passed over you earlier, and I said we could come back if you had a report you'd like to give. Do you want to hear Anita and give yourself a little moment?
Yes,
or would
please.
You like to?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Very good. Let's go ahead with Anita then. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. First of all, if I may, let me respond to Nancy. I was just reading an email. Nancy, I was not aware we were going to discuss July. Otherwise, we would have sent out the financials again. So I just wanted to address your question. I sent two documents out. One was the Pacifica Station payments, an update on that. And if you have it in front of you, I'm just looking at the consolidated page. Again, we're tracking the unpaid for 2019, which is in column C, line 10.
Anita, could you just hold for 1 second while people, if they're able to, can go and look at that?
Absolutely.
And this is the updated. Is this the updated station payments?
Yes.
Went out at 5:47 p.m. Eastern Time. Everybody can go to that.
Thank you, James, for the moment.
Of course. Okay, does anyone need another moment for that, or do we all have it?
What pane are we on? Consolidated?
Consolidated, yes.
Okay, go ahead, Anita.
Okay. I just wanted to point out to you on this is a summary page, if you will, the consolidated, looking at column C, line 10. The header is FY 2019 unpaid. So that's $341,652. And then if you look over to FY20 unpaid, that's $423,517. So that gives us a total amount of $765,000, which is top line 10. Again, not making any point, Berkeley did overpay. It was really when we reimbursed or they were paying for health insurance during the PPP. So that's why that is a credit situation. I'm sure we will catch up next month. And then all the rest, total unpaid, is what's outstanding for the central services. I know we're going to discuss that later on in the agenda. I just wanted for all of you to have where we were at. This is as current as from Friday. So if any additional money has come in today, I'm not aware of it. Any questions?
I see in both of those categories, Anita, we're like twice as behind as we were a year ago. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yeah. I understand. Yep.
I do have one quick question. Chris,
go ahead, Chris.
So looking at these, first of all, I really appreciate this detail. It's there's a lot to digest here, a lot. And I encourage everyone to take their time looking at this because there's a lot of stuff here to read. But for example, bringing in the benefit costs and payroll and the CPB funding thing is immeasurably helpful, at least to me. This is year to date, right? This is year to date, fiscal year to date.
Yes.
Okay. I was just checking. And when you say fiscal year 19, is that also year to date? In other words, is this a year over year comparison, or is that a full 12 months in case of fiscal year 19?
It would be 12 months.
Okay. So the fiscal year 20 is through what date? July 31st?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And also, I wanted to add that if on our next call, if you want to discuss it after you've had an opportunity to review it, I would be delighted to discuss it again. So I don't expect all of you to kind of look at it and have questions today. It was just to share the information.
Thank you for that, Anita. Do you want to mention that we don't have the August financials, and we'll do that next time as well?
Yes. And we don't have them, but we will before our next call. And I'm just hoping that we have an opportunity to kind of review it. I'm talking about us, myself, and also Chris to be able to kind of compare our analysis, if you will.
Thank you.
The other report that I sent essentially is the accounts payable. It's an outstanding from the national office of what we have to pay. And that also report came out about the same time as the central services. Again, that was just to share what is on the books that needs to get paid at some point. And, yes, MTA is the largest amount on there.
This is Sharon.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Anita, I don't see the second document. I see the FY19, FY20 Pacifica Station payments, the Excel sheet in your email, but I'm not sure what that other document, that second one that you referred to, where is that?
I sent it about the same time, but I'll send it to you again.
Oh, separate email.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Yes. I was sitting there from my phone because I got a response from Chris. And, I think from James also, it was okay to go ahead and send. So I sent them late, but I did get them out. Again,
I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. I was through.
I was going to say, I think if you scroll down on the original one that we were looking at, do we find it there? Below, there's additional attachments.
I don't see that, but I only see one email from Anita at 2:47 our time, which has one attachment. But, yeah, if Anita, if you could just send it to me again, thank you. I would appreciate that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, our fall.
I think there was a second file in there, but I think it was a logo from NATA. Yeah,
apparently we didn't all get the same thing. I have the logo from NETA, then I have ATT 050s, and then one, and then I have Pacifica Station Payments, and then we have this was not
XLS
taking a while coming up.
Is the only one that's real.
Again to the whole group, then.
Yeah, I think that'd be good, Anita. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you. That was my report.
Okay. Now, Anita, if you're willing and able, we'll go to some questions and answers. Does anybody have questions for Anita? Go ahead, Arpaul.
Okay. Let's see here. We had the CPB collections. We paid them off. Could you tell me how were the CPB collections apportioned? How did we determine how each station, what cut each station had to pay? How we determined that?
I think they're based by the percentage. Let me open it up again. I'm sorry. Hold on. They're based on the percentage that central services is. In other words, if you look, and I don't know if you can see the formula there. Let me be sure before I answer that question.
Take it.
She wants to be sure before she answers.
Okay.
Yes. In other words, okay. Let me find out, and I'll send the answer to all of you.
Okay. Could I ask another one here?
Please, Rob Paul, go ahead.
Okay. So we can we get a dollar figure on how much each station got for their PPP loan?
We have that information. The stations received that. What are you asking me? Can we share what every station received?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we can
share.
Is that
something you want to respond to in the future, Anita? Or I imagine that will take a little arithmetic.
I don't have the information at my fingertips.
Of course.
But obviously, if it's all right with you, we will share that.
Thank you.
Yes. I think clearly we'll see that the stations that have the larger payrolls are the ones who got the most PPP. And
correct.
We all understand that. Any other questions? Or Anita? We have another 12 minutes for this. Anybody else have a question?
This is Teresa. I would like to I must apologize for not being articulate enough on my on the last meeting. I had asked something about 4%. I got something from Anita that said that we got 2.5 months worth of payroll, and I think I will feel better when I can actually see the amount that means for us. We all got 2.5 months, but I would like to see the amount compared to what others got. I know that Dwayne said that that's all we deserved, and that's true because the PPP only makes payroll. But it will help me come to some sort of closure with it when I see the amount.
Sure.
Because I'm hurting now because I'm very embarrassed that we don't have our budget and we're not doing well. And that doesn't sit well with me.
I'd be happy to provide that.
Mr. Chair, Dwayne Hart seeks to be
recognized. Go ahead, Dwayne. Yes, Dwayne.